Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Tom Fairbanks with us. Tom is normally my engineer producer on Friday, but my Monday through Thursday producer Ray Allen is on vacation this week at an undisclosed location, Tom. He did not tell us where he was going. He said he may have said at the spur of the moment, just go out to TIA and just figure out at the last minute. Dick Runzel's with us from Tucson International Airport. Ray couldn't decide where to go, so I said, why don't you just go out there Monday and figure out where there's a low airfare? And there are a lot of them right now. We're just talking about
a lot of low airfares and a lot of choices of where to go.
Yeah, lots of choices. We're going to talk one of my favorite topics, air service out of Tucson, and so much news in that regard. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, if you have any air service questions, Dick Runzel would be happy to entertain those questions. Do want to point out today, it all begins. Today is the first day for voting in the presidential election. So it is here, folks. Well, Dick Runzel, good to see you. Mr. Runzel is Vice President of Administration. He's the Chief Financial Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority, and the Tucson International Airport is under that umbrella of TAA. Dick, we were talking before we went on. I've been around about 30 years. Next year, came back to Tucson in 1988. I have never seen a week, really, this is one of the best weeks TIA has ever had last week.
Yeah, I tell you, it really was. I mean, you know, a new route beginning is always a special occasion, and to have two of them that were as huge as they were last week, Mexico as well as New York City, is just unbelievable.
The long-awaited return of Mexican air service going down nonstop to Hermosillo, and then all sorts of connections over to the beach areas.
Right. Hermosillo, and then it continues on to Los Mochis there, which is the gateway to the Copper Canyon in Mexico, which is a very popular tourist area there as well.
I've done that trip.
Oh, have you?
It's a great trip. You can either get it at Chihuahua, I believe, or Los Mochis.
Right.
And you can, there's a turnaround point. They have like something like the equivalent of the Grand Canyon. It's not as big as the Grand Canyon, but the Copper Canyon, you can do the train.
Train. Exactly.
You do the train there, and then you go back to Los Mochis and then board your flight back to Tucson.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or, if you want to make an even better vacation out of it, continue from Los Mochis on that same flight to Mazatlan.
Yep.
And as a matter of fact, my wife and I just bought tickets about a week or so ago, and we'll be going to Mazatlan next month, and the fare was $319 round trip. Unbelievable fare for Mazatlan.
Good price point then.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have family, friends, business in Hermosillo, the Aeromar is currently running a promotional fare of $149 round trip. Absolutely unbelievably low fare.
And these are nice little planes Aeromar is running, so it's going to be a great experience, and it's wonderful to have the return of Tucson, Mexico air service, because there's been a tradition there going back with Aeromexico, a long-time tradition with Tucson, as has there been a long-time tradition dating back to 1927 for American Airlines. American Airlines is really almost an iconic airline with Tucson, Arizona.
Absolutely. It was the first airline here back in the 1940s, started out as Standard Airlines and eventually changed their name to American. But, you know, because of that, the loyalty with American is tremendous. I mean, you know, when we started several years ago, really putting the effort to try and get this flight to New York City, and then the chamber obviously stepped in big time with financial assistance to help this happen. But when we really started, we really didn't think there was much of a chance that we'd have American flying this route. The airlines are just so risk averse these days, and a very long route like this is very risky. They're putting a lot of money on the line. But they really looked at Tucson, the loyalty they have here, and saw the opportunity. And we're really grateful that they came through and added this route.
And not only did America can step up to the plate, but they stepped up with an aircraft that is a really beautiful aircraft. It's a Boeing 737-800. It's been configured now. You've got 16 recliner seats in first class. They've got that main cabin extra 30 seats, then 114 in coach. So this is going to be a good experience. And Dick Grunzel, I love the times here, not only for business travelers, this is good, but also for folks wanting connecting for overseas. 8:15, which even for a person, I don't really like really early flights, but I can do the 8 o'clock. That's not bad at all. Right. And then you arrive at JFK at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, and also arriving at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in New York, obviously it's a great time if you're going to New York.
Right.
But in addition to that, it connects perfectly with the bank of flights that American has going further on to Europe. Mm-hmm. Likewise, coming back, the flight leaves New York something around 5 o'clock, I believe,
in the afternoon. It is, 5 o'clock, straight up.
And again, arrive from Europe early afternoon, connect on that flight at 5 p.m. coming to Tucson. It's just perfect.
Yeah, it is. And the arrival in Tucson is a really decent hour, approximately 7:30 in the evening. So that's good news. Where are you looking to next? What would you like to move to next as far as nonstop service?
Well, the largest unserved market that we have remaining at this point is Washington, D.C. It's actually, we have more people going back and forth per day to Washington, D.C. than we do to New York. But working with the business community and the tourism industry, New York was just kind of that first target. So Washington, D.C. is really the next one up.
And it does help having the portfolio show you've got JFK.
Absolutely. I mean, if this flight performs the way we think it will and fills up that plane on a consistent basis, it'll make it that much easier to attract someone to fly that Washington route.
790-2040, if you want to talk air service, now is your opportunity with Dick Grunzel from the Tucson International Airport. We're also coming into prime Tucson season where a lot of the resumption of our nonstop service is picking up. What's on the horizon there, Dick?
There's a bunch of them. Probably the one I'll start off with is, we already have American serving Chicago O'Hare and Southwest serving Midway in Chicago, but United Airlines last year ran a seasonal route from about November through March of last year. It did very well. And so this year, they are bringing it back early. It's already started in October now. And as of this point, it's on the schedule as far as it goes. And basically, they're intending that now to be a year-round flight rather than just seasonal. So that's great news for all of you who like flying on United. Then we have some seasonal routes coming back to Portland on Alaska Airlines, Minneapolis on Delta. Both of those will be coming in November. And then in mid-December, through the busy season in April of next year, we'll have Delta resuming daily service to Seattle. So all of this is great news to get away during the winter and for people to come here and visit Tucson's excellent climate during the winter.
Yeah, it's certainly prime time to get on the plane and come out to Tucson. And, so many people did work on the New York. You mentioned, of course, Mike Varney really worked hard with the Chamber and they helped make that happen. And Visit Tucson, this is a marketing advantage too for them, because the biggest market that they can certainly work with population-wise is the tri-state area of New York.
Absolutely. And there are so many groups, meeting planners and so forth, that if a city doesn't have a nonstop flight from where you're coming from, you're not even on their list of booking a conference or a meeting event. So this is something that Visit Tucson has been working with us on. The local resorts and hotels have been working with us. It's just been tremendous. And, I'd also like to go back to the Mexico service. Visit Tucson was absolutely absolutely instrumental in us obtaining that route. Felipe Garcia at Visit Tucson, his connections in Mexico and his as often as he travels down there, and with the government officials, the government of Sonora was very instrumental in getting this as well. But Visit Tucson and Felipe Garcia there have just been tremendous in helping us, establish this service.
And for those who are still resisting and doing the drive up to Phoenix because they think they're going to save money, we were just talking, Dick, about some TripAdvisor sent me a memo. I'm one of their senior contributors. There you go. But we're looking at airfares out of Tucson and really, really rock bottom fares. I mean, you're not gonna really lose any money by flying out of Tucson compared to Phoenix.
No, I mean if you're looking at fares and just kind of tracking them, fares really, a lot of people think that fares are just always going up. Well, really, for about the last 6 months, fares have just been coming down.
Right.
And all of these new flights that are starting up again seasonally for us, as well as these new flights, just brings more competition to our airport and brings down the fares on all the airlines. So the competition is really great.
All right. Not only is there a lot to talk about with air service, but what about the amenities that are coming at the Tucson International Airport? That's been a huge story as well. We'll talk about that. Who is on board for the kind of the relook of Tucson International Airport as we take our break here on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Not a very good singer, am I? But you know what? Cockroaches aren't a pleasant subject, and we had them. And I called my friend Shelby Hawkins over at Five Star Termite and Pest Control, and guess what? No more cockroaches. Adios, cucaracha. Hasta mañana. No más.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
As a local manufacturer of windows and doors, American Openings would like to recognize another local business, Williams & Associates. Burt Williams and his team have just received the 2016 National Promotional Products Family Business of the Year Award. This national recognition is given out annually to only one of 20,000 companies within the industry. American Openings is grateful to Burt and the entire staff at Williams & Associates for helping businesses grow and employ more people, because the cure to poverty is a job.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Firo Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Firo Mori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Firo Mori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Firo Mori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Firo Mori on the web at viroamori.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, talking about one of my favorite topics, travel and air service. Dick Grunzel is with us. Dick from Tucson International Airport, and once a quarter at least we talk air service, and this quarter is a banner year. It's a banner quarter, certainly. Not only Dick Grunzel talking about the New York nonstop service, the Mexico nonstop, but let's talk about what is changing and going to be changing over the next 12 to 18 months with the physical layout of the airport, what the traveler is going to experience.
Well, anybody who's been out to the airport lately has seen some construction walls that have gone up. And, you know, the most noticeable part of that right now is at the end of the far ends of each ticket counter on each concourse, the construction walls. And behind those walls are going up new TSA security checkpoints. They'll be larger, which will and allow TSA to bring in all of their modern equipment. So not only will it just give us more checkpoint lanes to work with, but the equipment will be better. So it should really help us, you know, people get through the security checkpoints as efficiently as possible.
When does that come on board?
The first checkpoint on the B concourse, we're anticipating late next year, next, you know, about a year from now, okay, probably will be opening up, and then on the A side a little bit after that. And then what that does is, where the checkpoints currently are, opens that space up for more concession opportunities, you know, for gift kiosks, more seating and restaurant space. So we're looking forward to all of that. And out in the front, actually in the middle of the ticketing area, where we have a huge staircase and a couple escalators going up to the third level that mm-hmm. used to have a couple shops up there, that's all going to be demolished, opening up that entire area.
Really, kind of that second floor is going to be...
Yes, wow. Exactly.
Or third floor, I guess you call it. Yeah, it would be the third floor.
Where well, the third floor is now our administrative office,
okay,
but it's the stairs going up to that level.
Okay,
is
so
all
that's
going to
be going to go away.
And that also opens up that area for additional gift and news shops, as well as a new food and beverage outlet, which will be going right in the middle area, which will also have a seating area outside, and it's almost going to be like a beer garden effect, and the centerpiece of that area is going to be Noble Hops.
Oh, one of our charter sponsors here on the Buckmaster Show, the Musman Brothers really started the concept. They've done such a great job, and my hat's off to them, because talk about centerpiece. You're going to be front. They're going to be front and center.
They will be front and center. You know, because right now that's just kind of a big open area, and we've actually seen some renderings of the type of shop that they're going to open up there, and it really is going to be a great way to welcome people to the airport. And then along with that, in that center area, will also be a news and convenience shop, which is going to feature, again, some local offerings from Augustine Kitchen, sandwiches and other refreshments from Augustine Kitchen. And that shop will be operated by Hudson Group. The entire concession program is going to be redone and is going to have a tremendous local flavor to it, which is going to be really fantastic, once that gets up and running.
Yeah, you got some well-known Tucson names, Beyond Bread, El Charro, The Maverick, Noble Hops, Thunder Canyon Brewery, Arbuckle's Coffee. So there's a very much a local flavor that is going to be evident at TIA. Let's go to Matthew, called us at 790-2040. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, great guest. Number one, you guys have done a great job, so thank you. Number two, I don't know if either of you saw it, but the BBC just 2 days ago covered Tucson. I don't know how that reporter, why he came exactly. He came in because of the election coverage on a national level, but he came into Tucson. And he must have been at Meet Me, Tucson, over the weekend or something. But it was awesome to see that Tucson, for about a minute and a half, was covered on the BBC. Third thing, I would be remiss, Dick, if I didn't bring up the issue regarding the status of the disability, the ADA issue regarding the bathrooms. I was hoping you would address that. Is that been resolved? Were you guys able to integrate that into the planning process? I know that there's been complaints about access to certain bathrooms for disabled persons because of when you cross over where you're waiting at the checkpoint. And okay. I was hoping you could address that. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
We do... number one, all of the restrooms are ADA accessible. I think one of the questions that had come up was family bathrooms on the concourses. We do have, family restrooms, some people prefer to use, if they need a helper, to get to a restroom. We do have those in the ticketing and the bag claim level. And, unfortunately, we don't have the family restrooms on the concourses at this point. And one of our issues, which we've always had, unfortunately, is we're very space constrained on the concourses. Now, what is available is even if people have cleared the checkpoints and are on the concourses, the TSA will escort people, back, to the non-secure side of the airport to use the family restrooms in those areas, and then, escort them back to the concourses. So, that is the situation we have right now, and certainly, not the most ideal situation, but it is something that's workable.
When will this? When will these new vendors be up and running? You mentioned Noble Hops. That's going to be the centerpiece. But when will we see some of the others in there? There's a contractual thing, I guess, right?
Yeah. Both. There's two separate contracts. One is for the food and beverage operation, and another one, which we call News and Gift, which is the books, magazines, convenience items, gifts, souvenirs type thing. So those are two separate contracts, and both of those will be actually beginning on March 1st of 2017. And at that point, they will be essentially operating out of temporary locations while they're doing the construction on all of those outlets, which will be ongoing from March of next year, pretty much through all of 2017. And right around the end of 2017, all of the new locations should be, you know, fully up and running. And that's when it's really going to be, you know, taking on that local flavor.
How does the FAA like their new tower?
I tell you, they are just thrilled with it. I had a chance to go up there and take in the view.
I heard the visibility is terrific up there.
It is, really. You can just see for miles, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. And they are up and running. I know they went through a long test period there.
Yeah, they did, but everything is up and running. It's a very fuel-efficient facility, or energy-efficient, I should say. They have a solar panel farm on-site. I believe they indicated their electric bill is $30 a month.
$30 a month. Oh, my goodness. And for those that love, like I do, the old iconic tower with the neon saying Tucson, it's not going to be torn down.
No, it is not going anywhere. We would not dare touch that.
No, of course not. So you're figuring out what you're going to do with it, offices or?
Yeah, we are. The FAA is still kind of in the process of moving out, you know, certain things out, but yeah, it's there are a couple possibilities there, and yeah, we're still trying to figure out what the best use of that will be.
Buckmaster's Sky High Club on the,
there you go,
at the old Tucson Tower. Okay, Dick Grunzel, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Congratulations to you and everybody at the Airport Authority. Good work.
Thanks. All right, thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up, it is exactly 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. More on AM 1030 KVOI, BuckmasterShow.com, KVOI.com, all for our worldwide live listening. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, we'll preview the early voting. It's now underway in Arizona with Pima County Recorder F.N. Rodriguez. Plus, we'll set the stage for the 10th annual Tucson Rotary Car Show this weekend. It's Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and worldwide live streaming at KVOI.com and my website, BuckmasterShow.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and today is, after all the talk leading up to the presidential election, folks can finally turn the talk into action. Today is the official first day to vote in the 2016 general election. We're going to focus on legislative district number 9. That area includes Midtown neighborhoods, north of Speedway, east of Craycroft, the Catalina Foothills neighborhoods, Casas Adobas, Flowing Wells, Sabino Canyon area. There are 5 candidates vying for 2 seats to the Arizona House of Representatives in district number 9. The incumbent is Dr. Randy Freese. We spoke with him a week ago. There is a Republican challenger, Anna Henderson, and there is a Democrat, Pamela Powers Hanley, who is with me in studio. Pam, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me, Bill.
How would you characterize this campaign? What is your main kind of bottom line issue at this point?
Well, really, I'm still promoting my platform of economic reform and public banking in order to raise funds to pay for things we want, like solid education and good infrastructure and good paying jobs. Also, I'm still pushing the idea of equality and paycheck fairness for women and minorities, including the LGBTQ community. I'm glad to see that the minimum wage increase is on the ballot. And then lastly, I'm still pushing the idea of focusing the anti-drug efforts towards opiates, because I believe that there are too many Arizonans who are dying or becoming addicted. And with my public health background, I really want to see some change in that area.
Yeah, you have a master's degree in public health from the University of Arizona. You have your bachelor's in journalism from Ohio State University, and you've used your journalism degree in a professional sense, working social media editor of the American Journal of Medicine. And also, you've been very involved as a political blogger for 10 years.
Yes,
What's it like being now on this side as a candidate? I'm just sort of curious about that.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously I don't have free rein to say whatever I wanted to as I did before, but I'm still blogging at Blog for Arizona and on my campaign page. You know, in addition to just campaign updates, you know, I do speak out on issues like the minimum wage or on other things like public education. I just recently did a little blog post on public education and talked about how we're shortchanging our future, you know, which is obvious, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I do think the big elephant in the room on education is those corporate tax cuts that we keep giving. We need to put more money into our future. We need to put more money into public schools. I always say I'm a grandma, and so I have skin in the game when it comes to public education funding.
So how do you folks that do follow politics will recognize Dr. Freese as the incumbent? And just being the incumbent, you've got some name recognition. I still have a problem with many people who have no idea what the state legislature is about. And I know you're agreeing with me on that one. A lot of people have no idea what a state lawmaker does.
Well, yeah, and they don't know what district they live in.
They don't know what district they live in, right. And they don't understand, there are two representatives for each Arizona legislative district at the on the House side of things, and there's one senator. So how do you differentiate yourself now from your Republican opponent, because both you and Ms. Henderson are newcomers on the ballot?
Yes, we're both newcomers, and we're both women and both clean mm-hmm. elections candidates, but that's about where it ends as far as the similarities. We're very different on our issues, and I've been trying to make sure that the voters of LD9 know that the two women candidates are very different in where they stand. For example, I'm pro-choice when it comes to women's reproductive health, and she's not. I'm for responsible gun ownership. I stand with Randy Freese and many other Democrats on the idea that having a loaded gun on your coffee table is not going to make you safer, and she disagrees with that. I'm for bolstering public education, and she's a voucher person. So there's a lot of differences, and in my ads, I've had an ad in the Weekly, and also in my campaign mailers, and in my blog posts, and my social media, I'm trying to tell the voters that we are completely different, and you can't go eeny, meeny, miny, mo on those two women candidates, because we stand for very different platforms.
We had State Senator Steve Farley of District Number 9, who is unopposed. There is a write-in candidate. Mark Speer is the write-in candidate. But still, we had him on the show on Friday, Senator Farley, and he was saying he's in line if the Democrats recapture the state Senate. Farley is in line to be the Senate president.
Yes, he is. There will be an election, obviously.
Yeah.
But yes, I think that's so exciting. I mean, just think how different the state of Arizona would be if we had at least one place where we could stop some of these crazy bills that they pass, you know, and that's what some of them are, you know. And so I think it would be great to be, you know, either take the Senate or be so close that they have to negotiate with us. And I think Steve has done a great job in the legislature, and I'm proud to have voted for him every time he ran.
And he's campaigning with you and your Democratic colleague, Randy Freese.
Yes, the three of us are doing joint mailers. We've been meeting and talking with each other on issues. And I really appreciate Representative Freese and Senator Farley and how supportive they have been. You know, we are a united front in LD9, and we want to hold the line for the Democrats in northern Tucson.
What do you see on the education front if you are elected to go to Phoenix? Do you think it will be a front burner issue when the session begins in early January, as it was last year?
Oh, definitely. Definitely it's going to be a front burner issue, because we still haven't seen the step two from the governor, and all three of us in LD9 were opposed to Prop 123, and you know, we want to see other ways of doing things. I support Randy's idea to freeze the corporate tax cuts until we fully fund public education. Obviously, that's not going to be popular with the Republicans, but the $4 billion a year in corporate tax cuts, which are slated to increase through 2019, we already can't afford them. If we are scratching our heads on how to fund public education, there's some money right there. You know, there's also other things. So yeah, it's going to be a battle, and I'm ready to go toe-to-toe.
How does the district break down? What does the current registration look in District 9 right now?
Well, it's still considered a competitive district. It's not a safe Democrat or Republican district. The Democrats have a slight edge, maybe 6,000 votes, but it's almost evenly divided between Republicans, Democrats, and independents. So we are going to be looking for some independents to vote for us, obviously, and we're hoping for some maybe disgruntled crossover Republicans, since things are pretty crazy on the national stage for everybody right now.
Have you taken a stand then? You mentioned the minimum wage. I assume you are in favor of Proposition 206.
Yes, I'm totally in favor of that. One of my platform items has been equality and paycheck fairness, and I talk a lot about how little women in particular are paid in Tucson. And my understanding is, right off the bat, the biggest group that's going to benefit from the minimum wage increase is going to be women. We have far too many women working in these very low-wage jobs like fast foods or waitressing or home health care. And so I think it's very exciting, and I support it.
How about the marijuana initiative? Have you decided on 206 or 205?
Yes, I take a public health perspective to the marijuana initiative. There's been multiple studies that show benefits to marijuana. There was one recently that showed that states that had medical marijuana saw an overall decrease in prescriptions among Medicare patients. So these are not, you know, young stoners. These are Medicare patients who are switching to medical marijuana for pain or other ailments, and dramatically reducing cost in those states for Medicare. There's also been multiple research studies printed in the journal where I work, the American Journal of Medicine, that shows daily use of marijuana as being helpful to prevent diabetes, from going from pre-diabetes to diabetes. There's millions of people in the U.S. who have pre-diabetes, and so I think that we can work out the problems with dosing. For example, people bring up the edibles and how the dosing is not correct. You can't eat a full marijuana chocolate bar without having some, you know, serious issues. And so we need to look at dosing. We need to look at impairment and some of those other issues. But I think those are solvable. And I think that the money we get from the marijuana initiative would help us, and also the public health benefits.
All right. Pamela Powers Hanley speaking with us. Your website is
powersforthepeople.net.
powersforthepeople.net.
Yes, and I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Pamela Powers Hanley, running in Legislative District Number 9. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only a 3-hour drive, and it's a nice way to enjoy a beautiful autumn weekend over in the high country of that beautiful portion of the Southwest. And there's so much to do, including visiting the Gila National Forest and Wilderness, scenic drives, great birding, hiking trails. What more could you ask for a mid-October weekend? 3 hours to Silver City, southwestnewmexico.org. All the listings there of the many places to stay, several dozen great places, and several dozen things at least to do in that area. We'll be right back.
Arizona Repertory Theater proudly presents Hands on a Hard Body, based on a true story and infused with country, rock, and gospel. This musical follows 10 down on their luck Texans, each desperate for a new lease on life. They're determined to endure days in the Texas heat for a chance to win a brand new hard body truck. The last one standing with their hand on the truck wins it. Go to tickets.arizona.edu to see this musical of strife and friendship among competing strangers. Sponsored by Madden Media. Season sponsored Chapman Automotive. Hands on a Hard Body at UA's Arizona Repertory Theater. Tickets.arizona.edu.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition, and pretty much the middle of October, October 12th. Green Things is your place for everything green. They started off, Jan and Jack, the owners, they took over 4 acres, then expanded to 13, and now they've got that 13 acres really looking good at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. I strongly suggest you check out their gardening workshops Saturday and Sunday. Different topics every weekend. They're free workshops. Go to greenthingsaz.com and all the information you need will be there about this weekend's workshops. Well, Proposition 206 would raise Arizona's minimum wage to $12 per hour from $8.05 currently per hour. Business groups oppose the wage hike pretty much unanimously. All the groups, business groups on board against it, including the Arizona Chamber of Commerce. We go now on the live line to Phoenix and Garrett Taylor. Mr. Taylor is vice president of the Arizona Chamber. Mr. Taylor, how are you, Garrett?
Always a pleasure to be on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Why be opposed to what the Grand Canyon Institute, which is a moderate nonpartisan group, why be opposed to giving 790,000 people a pay raise?
Well, because we believe, as that Grand Canyon Institute reports indicated, that there will be job losses as a result of this. You know, Bill, let's keep in mind that Arizona's minimum wage is already above the federal minimum wage, is already pegged to inflation on an annual basis. So regardless of whether Prop 206 passes, there will be a hike in the minimum wage come January. But this wage increase is dramatic. It's much different than what the system we're operating under now. By 2020, we're looking at a nearly 50% wage increase, a mandated paid leave provision for employers, the prospect of individual municipalities forming their own wage burden. We are afraid that if passed, this is going to hurt the very individuals that the proponents claim to want to help.
If you're a business owner, then you're looking at a higher cost of doing business, correct?
It's a higher cost of doing business, but let's put a finer point on it. It makes hiring more expensive because, after all, what options does the job creator have? You could cut your employees' hours. You could cease hiring. I suppose in dramatic cases, you could institute layoffs. More likely, though, you're going to raise your prices or you're going to accelerate automation. And when it comes to raising prices, it's lost on us how making life more expensive helps those on the bottom end of the wage scale, those on the margins of society. We think this actually compounds the pain. It doesn't help it.
Yeah, and I've heard this, a lot of people saying that the fast food industry, if this were to pass, and it has passed in some other states, they'll move more toward automation, Garrick Taylor.
That's right. You will hear from the proponents that service industries, such as you mentioned, fast food, is already moving towards automation. But how does Proposition 206 help that issue? It actually accelerates automation. If you've been into a quick-serve restaurant, it's not unlikely that you've encountered an iPad to place your order or to call a server over to your table. Bill, you want a refill on that Coke? Here's a cup. Go get it yourself. You know, these are the issues that restaurateurs are facing, and I think everyone across the economy, but especially those who attract those starter wage jobs, those entry-level positions, they're really going to be looking at ways to accelerate automation because the labor costs are just simply getting to be too high.
What are your colleagues in other chambers in other states that have passed this, namely the Seattle area, what are they telling you?
Well, look, I want to be clear that when we talk about passing these mandated wage hikes, that we're not talking about economic destruction. There is not going to be a tumbleweed running down Speedway Boulevard. That's not going to happen. But it will not make life easier for job creators. In fact, in Seattle, which you mentioned, those low-wage workers have been hit by the fact that there are now 1,000 fewer restaurant jobs in that community than there were prior to the wage hike. Now, Bill, I must admit that overall the economy in Washington State is doing well, but it has nothing to do with the minimum wage hike there. It has more to do with a strong regional economy and good employers like Amazon and Microsoft and Boeing. It's making hiring more expensive. So if you're on the bottom end of the wage scale, you're trying to get that first job, perhaps you're a teenager looking for that first rung on the career ladder, your life is getting harder, not easier.
790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation with Garrick Taylor. We're talking about Proposition 206. What about those that look to a minimum wage job, kids, interns, looking for a paid internship? Could be fewer of those if this passes. Is that correct?
Well, that's our concern, because I want you to think back to Bill Buckmaster, age 16. We're going to the way back. I know. Turn the dials on the time machine, Bill. Were you worth $12 an hour? This is a question that employers are now going to have to contemplate. And let's think about Flagstaff, because after all, local municipalities could pass their own wage ordinance. Are you going to hire a teenager in Flagstaff at, what the ballot question there is, $15 an hour? You know, when I was 16 years old, my job was tearing tickets at a movie theater for $4.25 an hour. Bill, considering what I brought to the table, I was probably overpaid. So employers are going to have to swallow hard when it comes to those entry-level jobs. And I'm concerned that those opportunities are going to become fewer and fewer in number, not greater.
I have no idea what I was paid on that first job selling gladiolas and other flowers in Wellmet, Illinois, a long time ago. But I know it wasn't a lot of money. Let's try to work two calls in here, Mr. Taylor, Garrick, before we say goodbye. Who's up first? Jim Kelly is with us. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Garrett. Listen, the minimum wage was never meant to be a training wage for teenagers. When the minimum wage was first passed by FDR, it was because of the exploitation of workers, and everybody made their dollar with their back in those days, whether it was, you know, a pickaxe on a tunnel or a channel or whatever. But the minimum wage was never meant to be a training wage for teenagers. Now, is it possible, even with the passage of Prop 206, that the legislature can then establish a training wage for those in high school and college?
Good question. Thanks, Jim. Go ahead, Garrick.
Well, Bill, as you know, Arizona is a unique animal in this field. Most states, when something passes at a ballot, there is an ability for a legislative body to go back and tinker with it. In Arizona, due to something we call voter protection, Arizona's legislators, well, their hands are pretty much tied. to be able to involve itself into the, you know, the wage setting arena, you have to go back to voters in Arizona, because you would have to actually further the goals of a ballot measure in Arizona if you were to go through the legislative process. It would take a large supermajority.
Okay.
So when you pass something to ballot in Arizona, you've basically set it in stone.
All right, Chuck, I work this in real quickly, Chuck. I've got about 30 seconds. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I'll make this quick. I just didn't want your guest to forget about the devastating effect it's going to have on people on fixed income, because they're no longer going to be able to go out to restaurants because of higher food prices,
Okay.
even shopping for food in the grocery stores.
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. Go ahead, Garrick.
Bill, prices go up. Things get more expensive. For those individuals on fixed incomes, life is going to get a lot more expensive.
Has the chamber taken a position on the other marquee proposition, the marijuana measure?
We have. We are opposed. And for a similar reason, you know, you hear a lot of the reefer madness talk out there, the effects that it's going to have on the individual who might consume marijuana. Look, our concern in this area, Bill, is the effect it has in the workplace. How do you maintain a drug-free workplace? This adds a lot of ambiguity to that question. So we're concerned that for employers come January, things are going to get a lot more complicated.
Garrick Taylor, always a pleasure with the Arizona Chamber of Commerce. Thank you, Garrick.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, Garrick Taylor is the vice president, in fact, of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, based up in Phoenix, Arizona. All right, that's going to do it for the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. I want to promote our other local talk show hosts, being we've got some fine talk here, not only national but local. We do 4-2-7 at 4, Mike Shaw. Tom, you're going to be engineering that show as well this afternoon. 3 hours of Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. FN Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder, will have some really good information about the voting. It's underway, and what is expected to be, Tom, a huge turnout for this election. On behalf of Mr. Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope it's a great afternoon and evening for you.